My story is not mine to keep. My story belongs to God, and it is to be used for His glory.
My story is an opportunity for you to share the God moments that you've experienced in your life. They don't have to be your complete testimony necessarily, but just a segment or a part of a story of how God has been working or moving in your life. It's an opportunity to offer hope and encouragement through God's story in your life to others.
Good morning, OMC Church. It is good to be in worship together this morning. COVID stats. Oh, COVID stats are everywhere. I'm sure you've heard stats. You probably hear stats every day. Even looking online at the local news this morning, there are world stats that have earned the top of the page on the website, although as though this was more important than anything else going on around the world. On Thursday, the total cases, 87,519. How many active were over 34,000, 46,000 recovered, and over 6,000 deceased. Well, so many of us are blessed with such good health in our area that without the media, we honestly would have no idea of how this virus has put pretty much the whole world on edge. It has hijacked the attention of the whole world. Just think about how many of your last 10 conversations have not included anything about COVID. Well, with all these stats, all this attention, it takes me back to Bible school days to a mission book that we used called Operation World. It's available on apps now on the phone, so you can get those. And in this book, there wasn't a page you could turn to that didn't have some country stats on how many people had heard the gospel in that country, how many were saved, and how to pray for God to work in that country on the real problem plaguing our world. It was and is a virtual encyclopedia of the heartbeat of God in every country of the world. For example, you'll find in that kind of information, you'll find like 17,424 people groups in the world. That's how many exist. Of those, 4,605 are unreached. That means they haven't heard or they haven't accepted the gospel. Not to mention, each one of us knows a neighbor or a coworker whom we have the opportunity to reach. These are a whole different world of statistics. And if this virus that we're dealing with right now, if it deserves our attention, and it does, within reason, how much more critical is the pandemic that compelled God to give His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life? Imagine the media reporting daily on the spiritual health of our world as well as the physical. According to the online reports from Christianity Today, millions of worried people who have turned to Google with their anxiety over COVID-19 have ended up connecting with Christian evangelists in their search results. And some of the results? Tens of thousands have clicked to pray for salvation since the outbreak. That's something to praise God for. So while the world is being shaken in so many different ways, especially with COVID right now, may God use His testimony in our lives and in our words to move people away from the shifting sands to the solid rock of salvation that is Jesus Christ. Let's pray this morning. God, we don't like this coronavirus. We don't like what it's doing to our communities. We don't like what it's doing to our jobs. And for those affected, we don't like what it's doing to our loved ones. But God, our physical health has never been our true security. You told us that. So let your rescue mission continue. Your Son said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." You, God, said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And you said, "We are the salt and light of the world." So God, in all your tireless sacrificial efforts, open our eyes to see your harvest field, your work, and your mission. Continue to equip us, your hands, your feet, your workers, to be and speak your message and your antidote to a truly dying world. God, thank you for blessing Pastor Gary with the words and heart that comes from you. And through us, may your light shine even brighter in these darker times. that the world may know the hope to which you have called all of us. This morning, may we look to you, God, like we look to no other, for you truly are our way, our truth, and our life. May we be forever grateful. We look to you, God. Amen.
I choose to worship. I choose you. I am reading Acts 16, verse 25 to 34. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw the prisoners' doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. And he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us at Osler Mission Chapel online this morning. Thank you to Steve for sharing this morning and opening up her service this morning. Thank you to my daughter Emily for reading the scripture passage this morning. And she was reading from the ESV, so I'll be referring to that a little bit later on in the ESV as well. So again, thank you for joining us. I know there's people that are joining us from in care homes. They're joining us in their homes. Some of you are joining us in your cars. Some of you are joining us from outside of Saskatchewan. And I would be interested, if you're joining us from outside of Saskatchewan, if you would drop us a line and let us know where you're from, where you're viewing from. And missionaries, we have our missionaries are out, spread out. Missionaries, our missionaries, if you're watching, let us know that you're able to tune into your home church live as well. And so that would be really cool. And so you can either comment down below in the YouTube video. You can go to our webpage at oslermissionchapel.com and find us there to send us an email. My email is pastorgary@oslermissionchapel.com. And so we'd like to hear from you and what's going on in your life. So thank you to those of you who have let us know where you're from and that you've joined us online as well. We appreciate you being able to join us. You're part of being part of this Osler Mission Chapel church experience. And so, and it is just a part of it, but we're excited that you're here with us. A man found a magic lamp with a genie that offered him three wishes. The man said, "For my first wish, I'd like to be rich." "Okay, rich," said the genie. "What would you like for your second wish?" And so, just for those of you who didn't know how Rich Weber got his name, that's how Richard Weber got his name. And so, just a little story of getting rich back, as he shared a little bit of ago. And so, it's kind of a rich joke, and he likes those types of jokes, and so do I. And so, that has nothing to do with my message this morning, though. But we will move into the sermon this morning. I am continuing with my series called Lockdown. And last week I talked about God, the source of life and blessing in all of life. And that means and includes the lockdowns we face, the obstacles or challenges and difficulties that come our way in life. And how God's fingerprints are all over the past. And so we see him being faithful in the past. He is faithful in the present. And he is faithful and trustworthy in the future. And therefore, we can rest in him in lockdown. And so that's what we looked at last week. And for those who hope in the Lord, he will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint, according to Isaiah 40:11. And that's what I desire in lockdown. I want to soar on wings like eagles in lockdown. I want to run and not grow weary. I want to walk and not faint. That's what I want in a lockdown. That's what I want when obstacles come in my life. That's what I want when life gets tough. I want that for all of my life. How do I soar, though? How do you not get tired of being in lockdown? How do you not get weary of those tough situations, those trials in your life? How do you not get tired in those situations? And of course, as we looked at last week, remember God's faithfulness in the past. Remember the fingerprints that are all over your life as you remember the past. Remember who you are as a child of God and who you belong to and for what purpose we are here. Our purpose, the purpose that we are here, is to be image bearers of God Almighty, to be His reflection, to share His glory in all of the earth as we live our lives, and that includes in lockdown. Now this morning, I want to clarify some of the terminology that I use on a regular basis, and I use it a lot of times interchangeably, but I just want all of us to be on the same page. What do you mean? Because you use, one day you say this, the other day you say that. And what I'm meaning is, I talk about the believer. I talk about a child of God, a Christian, disciple of Jesus, follower of Jesus. All of these are the same person, but who are they? What does it mean to be a child of God? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? Well, in the scripture, we find that a person who confesses with their mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in your hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Or verse 11 in the NASB puts it this way, for the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Study that last little bit. Take a look at that, but save it for later. Not right now, because you want to listen to God's word. I was going to say you want to listen to me, but I'm really not really worth listening to that much. But I want you to listen to what God has to say through me. But take some time later and look at the rest of that verse. It's a really great. It actually gets you really excited. But what we're looking at is, in order for us, as a believer, as a child of God, somebody who's put their faith in God, it's important for us when we're walking through life, when we're going through life, because we will go through trials. That's life. We live in a fallen world. That's what'll happen. But in order to do that, in order to soar on wings, in order to not grow weary, in order to not faint, we need to have a clear understanding of the believer's position and purpose, because that will lead to prayer and praise in pandemic lockdown. And that's exactly what happened to Paul and Silas. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. When I was 17 or 18, I was asked this really awkward question for a 17 or 18-year-old guy. And we had a family friend who was in the hospital. She was on her deathbed. And my dad and I went to visit her one day, and as we came in the room, she whispered something, and she was quite frail at this point, but in order to hear her, I had to move closer, and so as I moved closer, she grabbed me and hugged me, and she asked me this question. She asked, "What do I tell your mom?" And this really put me back, because what do you tell my mom? She said, "Yeah, what do I tell your mom? I'm going to see her in a little while." She knew she was passing from this life. She knew she was going to die, and she wanted to know, what do I tell your mom? She was excited. There was a smile on her face, and she's, "What do I tell your mom? I'm going to see her. I'm going to meet her." Now this is crazy. This is crazy talk for me hearing this. And my mom had died about a year or two prior to this. And And so, but I was struggling with this. And so she asked me again, you know, are you being a good boy? I'm like, yeah, I lied. And I said, I was being a good boy. And I wasn't. I was living a good life at that time. But one of the things that just drew me in, and maybe not so much at that time, but later as I have thought about that conversation many times, and thought about her concern and her care for the people in her room there, it was absolutely amazing, and it's stuck with me ever since. You see, this lady, she had lived a good part of her life, and probably most of the life that we knew them as family friends, with a crippling disease that left her in pain, that left her unable to communicate clearly at times, wasn't able to walk. And so these are the challenges that this lady was going through. Now, she was on her deathbed. And she was surrounded by people that were also in that same way of life, I guess. They were on their way, just waiting to pass away. And so here's this lady. She's got this crippling disease for years. Pain, suffering. And now she's about to breathe her last breath. But she's looking at the people in the beds beside her, and she realizes their need. And some of these people aren't at peace because they don't know what's going to happen beyond this life. When they die, and they are going to pass away, they will never leave this room, that particular room, without, in anything other than a casket, unless God does some mighty miracle in that room. But what just amazed me and drew me in was her compassion and care for these other people. She would talk about, but that person is in so much pain. I wish I could help them. I wish I could do something for them. How can I share Jesus with them? This was on her heart and this is on her mind. Man, do you understand where she's at? She has been in lockdown in a disease for many years, maybe even decades. Now she is locked down in her deathbed. And it's not about her. She knows that when she passes from this earth, she will spend eternity with Jesus. But she doesn't know where these people will spend eternity. Some of them, she believes, won't spend eternity with Jesus because they don't know him personally. It's in these lockdown moments, in these difficult life situations, where our true character is revealed, our integrity is revealed. It really clarifies where our hearts are. When we are faced with obstacles in life, in crisis, when we are in lockdown, how do we respond? Because how we respond is a clear indication of who our master is, whom we have placed our faith in. In this family friend's life, she was passionate for the right thing. She was passionate for what God is passionate for. She had a clear understanding of the believer's purpose. And it will lead to prayer and praise in lockdown. She knew that she was an image bearer of God. This morning, Emily read from Acts chapter 16, verses 25 to 34. And I want to look at that a little bit. Paul and Silas, we catch up with Paul and Silas here. Paul and Silas are in jail. Paul and Silas I believe they recognized that adversity is a fact of living in a fallen world. And they understand that through the lens of living in light of persecution and hardship and now in lockdown. But they understand and they believe they were exactly where God needed them to be. They were in the center of God's will for their lives. And that happened to be in jail. That's where we find them. And this was the most secure part of the jail, the inner part of the room, the most secure place, maximum security, we could say, locked down with their feet bound in blocks of wood. The best place for every disciple of Jesus to be is at the center of his will. Well, how do you know what the center of his will is? What is the center of God's will? And surely the center of God's will isn't in some prison cell in the inner most secure place. Or is it? To know God's will requires intimate knowledge of God. And the early church in Acts, if you go back to the beginning of Acts, you'll read the beginning of the church and how it just exploded onto the scene. And it's full of words like fasted and prayed and prayed and fasted together, seeking God's will. And early on, when God established his church, they met together. They were meeting together constantly. They had everything in common, it talks about. They ate together. They took communion together. But suddenly that all changed. This church exploded onto this scene and suddenly all that changed because the church was being scattered because of persecution. You see, these new believers, these new Christians were being, starting to be persecuted for what they believed in. But you know what? In spite of the suffering, in spite of the obstacles, in spite of the lockdown that was coming on their faith, this didn't stop them from sharing the gospel. Their circumstances didn't negate their responsibility to fulfill the Great Commission to go and make disciples. Now, they couldn't be all together. They couldn't be in one place. Right now, we are not all in one place. There's very few people in this place here this evening. Well, this morning. I gotta say this morning, but we're recording this in the evening. But you know what? They were being scattered. And what were they doing? They were going where they could to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Church changed what it looked like. But you know what? Paul and Silas, they saw every circumstance that they were in as an opportunity to share Jesus with anyone who did not yet know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. They really had a grasp on the Great Commission to go make disciples. And it didn't matter if they weren't in a certain setting. It didn't matter if the music was to set the tone or the right mood. Or if there was a really nice backdrop or background to what they were doing. That wasn't what it was about at all. Now, Paul and Silas, before they're thrown into jail, Paul and Silas were on their way to the place of prayer. You see the importance when they're seeking God's will in all of this. You know, every time you're turning around, every time you go into a new chapter, almost every time you go into a new chapter in Acts, they were praying and fasting together. They were seeking God earnestly together. So Paul and Silas, they were on their way to a prayer meeting. They were on their way to spend time with God, to intimately know him and understand who he is. And this demon-possessed girl's been hassling them for a while already. And they're out of frustration. Paul turns around and casts out this demon. You know, demon, come out of this girl. And of course, the demon does come out of the girl. And in Jesus' name, he casts her out. And of course, the owner of this girl is furious because she was a fortune teller. So she was a witch. She was practicing telling people's fortunes, and her owners were happy because they were making her money. They didn't care about her situation at all. Their owners were furious. And so they go to the authorities. They're throwing up their hands and, you know, these guys, they're costing us our income. They're, you know, and they probably sent out, you know, if it was today, they'd be sending out tweets and texts and, you know, this is all going on. And so no sooner had they started whining, complaining about this devastation of their income being gone, that then this flash mob shows up. And, you know, it's pretty easy once you start getting in that same mentality and you get people wound up, and now they want them thrown in jail. And so what happens? Well, they do. They get thrown in jail. And it's pretty devastating. Paul and Silas were stripped naked. Very humiliating. So you're stripped naked in front of this crowd of people who is half of them don't even know why they're angry. So they're being humiliated, and then they are beaten. And of course, after they're, you know, had a good beating, then they're thrown into the jail, into maximum security. Their feet are fastened to pieces of wood, and they're locked up, and they're left there, naked, bloody. Verse 25 starts off like this. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now remember, their wounds hadn't been addressed. Their wounds hadn't been cleaned. So they're laying there, bloody and beaten on a floor in a jail with their feet in some kind of a wooden contraption, locked down. And they begin to sing praise to God. The focus wasn't on their unfair treatment. Their focus was directed to their sovereign Lord and Savior. They were worshiping God. In their state, in this lockdown. Think about it for a minute. What are the other, you know, what's going through the other prisoners' minds? These two guys get dragged in, they're beaten, they're bruised. Typically, you would probably hear criminals who are coming in after a good beating and they're naked and they're hurting. They might be hearing crying, they might be hearing cursing, they might be hearing all kinds of vulgar or revenge threats and all kinds of anger and hatred spewing from their mouths, shouting their innocence. I'm innocent, I didn't do it. Let me go. You can't throw me in here. This isn't fair. Who prays and worships God in lockdown? In our obstacles, when they come our way. I'm ashamed to say, my song is more often than not a song of my woes and my despair. In all of this, Paul and Silas hold in their hands a get out of jail free card. They do get out of jail a little later on. They could have been spared this jail. But they don't use this get out of jail free card until something life-changing happens, because they were so confident that God had a plan for them in spite of hardship, in spite of obstacles, that they were willing to walk through this. The song that we sing in lockdown, it reveals whether or not we are living the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, in all of our lives, and it should be evident, and it shouldn't change because our circumstances change. It's not that we're rejoicing in hardship. It's not that we're happy because we're in pain and suffering. That's not it. We're happy because we can take part in Christ's suffering this way. They were confident. They were exactly where God wanted them for His purpose. They, Paul and Silas, are as sure as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3:17-19, when these three guys, they refused to worship the idol that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and he says that, you know, everybody's got to worship this idol at a certain time of day. When you hear this music playing, you better be worshiping this idol. Here's the consequences. You're going to be thrown in prison in a fiery furnace. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of your hand, O King. And then they go on to say in verse 18, but if not, be it known to you, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Oh, then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and an expression on his face changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he ordered the furnace heated seven times more than it was usually heated. These men knew who God is. Paul and Silas placed their faith in God, trusting His will to be done. Even though they weren't spared a severe beating and jail time. It's because of their faith in God they were able to pray and worship in this way. The results of the worship, the results of their prayer, this was, man, I'm just thinking it would be awesome to be hearing them pray and worship in this time, because what were the results of their worship is that jailhouse, it rocked, man. You know, the foundation literally rocked. And the doors flung open, and these blocks of wood, these two pieces of wood that were clamped their feet in between, they were gone. And this is during the worship service between the two of them in prison. There was only two guys in prison in their lockdown, and they are worshiping. Verse 26 says, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken. That's a worship service. That's a worship service. Man, I don't know if we can ever experience that here on earth. I'm thinking I'd like to experience that, though. I don't know what that is. They kept their eyes on Christ. They kept their eyes on the purpose that I'm here to bear God's image to all people so that they may get to know God through what they see in me. That I am an image bearer of God. Verse 27 says, when the jailer woke up and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and he's about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, do not harm yourself, for we are all here. And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down at the feet of Paul and Silas. Why does he go to Paul and Silas? Why is he going to these men? Do you think that he was seeing their integrity still shining in this jail? He's obviously not seen this before from prisoners, that they would come in and they would be worshiping God Almighty in light of the beating, in light of the persecution, in light of the of the being in jail, locked down like that. He was drawn to them because he saw God reflected in them. When he looked at them, he saw God. It's a mirror of God projecting from them. Paul and Silas, they were content in their lockdown. They knew that they were in the center of God's will, doing His work. So it didn't matter if that was in a jail cell, or if it was on the street, or if it was in another place in a temple. The result, they focused on others' spiritual needs, and they weren't looking at their own physical needs. The jailer, when he was at the end of himself, when he was needing salvation, because why was he going to kill himself? Why was he taking that sword to himself? Well, he was probably just going to speed up the process, because typically if prisoners got away, the jailer would be killed in this time. So he was just speeding up that process. So he's at the end of himself. And then someone tells him, "Don't, we're all still here." And where do you go? Their testimony was a shining light in the jail. Their testimony, their faith wasn't rocked by their circumstances. It was the jailhouse that rocked because of God's pleasure in their worship. In our lockdown, is our lockdown worship as pleasing to God that it rocks the foundations? Or is it a song of stench and discontentment to the King of Kings? Their authentic worship was a testimony to their faith in Christ. And it was their authentic lives that caused him to ask this question: what must I do to be saved? And they responded, verse 31, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. And then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. The jailhouse, if you don't remember a lot of the points to this message, I want you to remember this one little phrase, and I hope it brings back some of the content of what is in here. Because the jailhouse was rocking because Jesus' love was talking, and how his love was talking is through the lives of these men. And when they had the opportunity, when they had already shown their authentic lives by how they reacted to lockdown, then they were able to teach this man from the Word of God. Wow, that's powerful. Jesus' love was talking through Paul and Silas as they prayed, as they sang worship to him. When Isaiah said in Isaiah 40:31, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Paul and Silas, they were soaring. In spite of being beaten down, they were soaring. They were not weary. They weren't fainting because of their lockdown, because they had faith in God. Their situation didn't stop them from sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. They kept right on living as disciples of Jesus, their desire was to make more disciples. Earlier, I said Paul and Silas were exactly where God desired them to be. They were in the center of God's will in jail, the most secure place, bound hand and foot. And it's the best place for every believer, every disciple of Jesus to be. It's at the center of His will. And I want that. I want that in my life. I want to be at the center of God's will. I want to be able to soar. I want to be able to run and not grow weary. I want to walk and not faint. That's what I want in my life, in all of my life. Not just in the good times, not just in bounty and prosperity, but I want that in all of my life, in the challenges, the obstacles, the trials, the struggles, in the lockdown. I want that. And this is what Romans 10:11, I believe, means. And this is from the NASB. Whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Paul and Silas were not disappointed. What would change in our lockdowns, in our obstacles, in our struggles? If we became that intimate with God, what would happen if our jailhouse was a rockin' because Jesus' love was a talkin' through us, through our song of worship and praise in all of life? What would it be like if those around us saw us praising, worshiping a God in our obstacles, in the challenges, in lockdown? How would they respond to that? I believe they would respond in a very similar way that this jailer did. What must I do to be saved? Is that even possible? Is it possible? What does that even mean, you know, that my testimony, if my song is consistent, praising and worshiping, whether I'm struggling or, going in prosperity, what would that mean to someone else? Man, it just gets me excited to know that we could have that impact on people from living and being men and women of integrity. I want to soar. You want to soar? Do you want to walk in and not faint, run and not grow weary? Man, I hope you do. Don't know Jesus yet? In your lockdown, in your situation? Not yet a disciple of Jesus. You don't want to wait. You don't want to go through these struggles and challenges all alone. You don't want to have to deal with what we deal with in this fallen world anymore. I'm going to be perfectly honest and upfront with you. This will cost you. Look at Paul and Silas. They were beaten, thrown in jail, and so it might cost you. It might cost you your time. It might cost you your comfort. It might cost you financially. It might cost you friendships. But Paul and Silas, they knew that God was bigger than all of those things, those obstacles, those lockdowns. In fact, that He is the source of strength in the lockdown. He is the source of life in a lockdown. I just don't want to tell you that being a child of God is an easy road, but it is a good road. Because if two guys can go through a Paul and Silas did and sing songs of praise to God in lockdown, I want that. I hope you want that. I want you to know Jesus intimately. And I want to know Him, that I'm right in the center of His will. And I want you to know that, because I want us to sing songs of praise no matter where we are. If it's two people locked up in a jail, or, two people at home, or four people, however big your family is at home, I want it. You know, I want us to be praying that prayer where the foundations of this very earth are rocked. And what do you have to do? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Maybe you're already a believer and you're struggling in lockdown. Do you know God intimately? That when things are going on, you're okay because you're so confident that you are in God's will, in the center of where God desires you to be, that you can sing songs of praise and worship to Him, that He knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. He has not left you. He has definitely not abandoned you. And as we look back to last week's sermon, we see how He was with the people of Israel every step of the way. And so was He in this case with Paul and Silas. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You that You love people so dearly. We thank You that You desire an intimate relationship with people. We thank You that we can know and have confidence in who You are and know that when we are close in intimate relationship, we can walk in Your will and be in the center of Your will and be content, whether it's in prosperity, whether it's in lockdown, whether it's in hard times, or whether it's in good times. God, I want to run. I want to soar. Father, would You be with each person that is hearing this word this morning? I pray that You would work in their hearts and their lives, that You would draw them to Yourselves, that You would reveal Yourself to them in a mighty way, and that they would so desire to walk in intimate relationship with You, to be that Paul and Silas, to be able to sing songs of praise and worship. God, would you lay it on our hearts to do that? Father, if there's someone not saved here, then Lord God, would You reveal Yourself to them? And if that's You this morning, then you can simply pray, Lord Jesus, I want to get to know You intimately. I believe that You died and rose again. I believe that I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus, that Your blood paid the penalty of my sin. And now I'm accepted by God. Father, we thank You for Your word. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. If you're struggling, if you're going through challenges in your life, if you want to soar, talk to your pastor. If you belong to our church, talk to any one of us pastors. Phone us, text us. Don't leave this. Don't let it wait. I mean, if you right now, while you're watching this, give us a call. Text us. If that's you, if you need help, if you're struggling, maybe you don't know Jesus and you'd like to know Jesus, give us a call. Lord bless you and look forward to seeing you again. And done.